Michael's hair has just been drawing me in, and it's kind of like that bug delight. And if you haven't just sat and been mesmerized by it, this maybe tomorrow morning is your moment. We are on to Acts chapter 5, time out. I heard amazing things about Cabin Times last night, the guy's session. We could have gone for another 2 hours. Ladies, I checked in with both Kristen and Laura, and they said that there was some really cool awareness for you to stand up for someone else, on behalf of someone else, to tell someone's story. That's the whole thing about this morning. It is about how in the world are we supposed to talk about, not even our acknowledgement of what we're learning here at Fort, but also our own experience. And so that's what we're going to work into today. This is to get us up to speed. Acts chapter 5, verse 12, we're going to work into 17. So the apostles perform signs and wonders among the people. All the believers used to meet in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. I put dot, dot, dot there because I was wondering if that was a contradiction. But then I thought through it more, and so maybe if you have a question about that, you can we can hash it out. You see, I skipped verse 15. Here we go. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. This sounds an awful lot like who, if you're familiar with your pink preaching Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Who does this sound an awful lot like? Begins with a J, rhymes with Jesus. Good, for those of you that didn't get that correctly. Here's the thing, guys. The abilities that started to happen in the book of Acts were exactly the same things that began to happen whenever Jesus walked around. And in fact, there's this, some really great stories throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where Jesus sent out his disciples, the 12, and then 72 people in another run. And they did all these things live, and then they came back to tell Jesus about it. My question for you is, how? How did Jesus perform all those things? How did the 12 and the 72 perform all those things? And then how does the book of Acts, how do all these things happen? The answer is, very simply, Declan, let me keep rolling because this isn't even our text for the morning. It's in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit was at work in the world. Kind of cool. My question for you is this. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded. Crowds began gathering, bringing sick, tormented, impure, and healed. My question for you to talk is, what does this set the table for? Does this set the table for pride? The disciples are human, so we know what's impending. They gonna sin. Does it set the table for jealousy? The people in power are not going to like this. Does it set the table for competition? Others are going to want to do these miracles. Does it set the table for a hurricane? We've seen a tornado. We've seen the earthquake. And so flooding should be coming next. Why don't you guys talk about it? I'll call you back. That's a good question. Man. Okay. We on it. Really quickly. Disciples are human. They're going to sin. Pride is coming up next. Two or three of us. Okay. I'm with that. Jealousy. People in power. Competition. Others want that power. Good. I like it. I like it. I like it. Hurricane. Here comes the story of a hurricane. I love it. Check it out. Very next verse, here's our text for the morning. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. Hip hop hooray. How many of you read ahead and knew it was the right answer because you cheated? Exactly. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. When it says they were filled with jealousy, the word there means to boil. Kind of cool, right? They were boiling. Because everything was happening. So maybe the hurricane folks were right too. Holla. Good job, hurricane. people. Pride had already happened. That was Acts chapter 5. If you had read it yourself last night, competition is coming in Acts. So I'll give everybody credit on this one. The high priests, all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They put them in public jail. So here's the question that we got last night that I'm sure you have asked before. If all this good stuff's happening, why does bad stuff happen to these good people? Really quickly, how many of you had asked this question before? It's a good question for us, right? All my collegiate and high school people, your hands are obviously up. I get it. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because God may not be as good as we keep saying. Because God allows brokenness in his world. Because humans have freedom. Because bad things bring us to look for God. Bad things can bring us to love God. Why don't you talk about it? Then we'll talk about it. Ready, go. Last one. Spoiler alert. I got a better question. It's my very next slide. How many of you said this? Why do good things happen to bad people? Maybe it's because God is better than we keep saying. If a good thing happens to a bad person, maybe God is better than we keep talking about. Maybe God allows beauty in his world because they're bad people in a broken place. Maybe he allows beauty. Maybe good things happen to bad people because there's freedom that God has given us. Maybe the good things in the world happening to bad people can bring us to look for God and to love him. My young friends, here is what I do not want to have happen from last night, where maybe over the past several nights or perhaps for the next few days of camp, as you are feeling really comfortable and close with your cabin, or maybe in a one-on-one with a staff, I want to make sure that you don't reduce God to a very, very, very simple question and build your faith on a yes or no. I want to make sure that you guys don't take God, who's made all of this and who has made us, and you don't reduce him down to a really good question. This is a great question, but my young friends, I think this is a better one. And I hope coming out of today, what you have are better questions to ask your parents going home, to ask your youth leaders going home, to ask your counselors as you text them at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock or 1 in the morning. I love waking up in the morning at a stupid time of the day, and over the night, college kids have texted me questions. It's one of my favorite things about being a pastor, because I have that relationship with the people in my life, where as they run into these hard things, they know that in our discipleship, where I teach and love them, they're not allowed to reduce God down to their size. And what they do is they ask me questions rather than tell me about who God is. Make sense? Let's keep rolling. They arrested the disciples, put them in the public jail. But, what the heck, during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, the place you just got arrested from, and tell the people all about this new life. At daybreak, Peter and John do as they have been told, and they begin to teach le people. That is French for the people. Very good. So here's my question for you. What would you say if an angel tells you to go tell the people? When you were to stand up in front, maybe to take my microphone, are you supposed to stand up and say the whole Bible story? Let's be real. I don't know the whole Bible story, so that's not the right answer. Are you supposed to say resurrection 13 times? It's a really good question. What if I'm not sure about God as a human? Or maybe you guys could start to learn how to tell the story. Here's what the angel says. Go tell all these people about new life. And what I love about Fort Wilderness and the ability in camp here is that we get to speak the story as we have experienced it. And none of your counselors, whenever they've told the story from up front here that I've heard or last night with our guys, none of them did it in complicated ways. They told the good and they told the bad and the hope that comes from forgiveness. Maybe you guys need to throw away the questions in small group time. And maybe you guys need to talk about what it means to tell the story. We'll keep reading together. When the high priest and his associates had arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and they sent to the jail for the apostles. Remember where the apostles were? Not in jail. But on arriving, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." What the heck? On hearing this report, the captain of the temple of the guard and the chief priests were at a loss. I love this line. Wondering what it might lead to. As soon as I read that, I immediately knew that this was someone worried about his job. Is that what you guys thought immediately too? He was wondering what it might lead to. Like, he's like, am I going to get fired? Someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail, they're standing in the temple courts teaching." At that, the captain went with his officers and they brought the apostles and they didn't use force because there's a new fear. Fear that the people would stone him. Your chance, let's talk. We only have like 3 minutes. Ready? There's so many characters happening. We got a disciple, a jailer, a convict, the popo rulers and assembly. The crowds have rocks? What? And don't forget the angel. You pick a character, put yourself in the story. What do you see, smell, taste, touch? And then the sixth sense, dead people. Okay, ready, go. Okay, I told you we only had like 3 minutes left. We got to get you off to small group times. Lots of characters. Who's in jail? Who is one of the disciples? Give me one sense. One sense, that's all you get. You can do see, smell, touch, taste, hear, or feel, which is the internal world. What's it feel like? I'm annoyed that Peter's in jail again. I love it. Okay, who was a jailer? Who was a jailer? Anybody? Yeah, okay, someone new. Yes, with the hat. Yes, I can't remember your name. I'm so sorry. Yeah, scared and surprised. Why? Yeah, absolutely. That feeling of surprise and fear is my job's on the line. Okay, very good. Another convict in jail. Was anybody else a convict in jail? Yes, blue shirt. Jealous that they got out and I didn't. What the heck? I like it. Okay. Popo. Somebody new? Yes. All right. Yes.
I would feel like threatened because these people have escaped before, and if I don't share the same thoughts as the people that I'm locking up, then I would.
Oh, it's good. Because of the escape, there's an internal sense of fear because I'm not sharing the same thoughts. So the question is, are they right? That's the undercurrent of your question. I like it. No, we're keep moving. We're going fast here. The rulers and the assembly, I'm going to put you together. Anybody, the rulers or the assembly? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that word. That's like a 10-cent word, enthralled. I love it. The energy of the whole room, and as they hear the story, there's probably another side to that. Yeah, blue jacket. I love it. He said it's like a punch to the stomach. I thought we arrested them, and no, but they're not there. I like it. The crowds. Who's holding a rock right now? Who's ready to throw it right now? That's weird. You guys are rough. That's all boys. Okay, big ending why. Yes?
They see their knuckles turning white probably because they're getting mad and holding the rock.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. He said, "I can see my knuckles turning white." Guys, that's an awesome detail. That's why you have to talk. I've never thought about that. Good job. Okay. Who thinks they're pretty much like God and was the angel in this story? Okay, I see a few fingers, a few hands. Yes? All right. Someone new. Give me an experience. I'll go one, two, three. Go. Yeah, I wonder if the angel has an emotion of joy. Yeah, a happy of, oh, with a noise. I like it. Yes?
If I were the angel, I would be a little frustrated because they keep getting put in jail for spreading the word of God. And so you have to keep encouraging them to go out.
That's cool. I like that. Maybe a hint of frustration because they keep getting put in jail. But also, I will encourage from that place. I love it. Big ending. It's all yours. I love it. As a protector, as an that man, guys, that's incredible. I'm getting goosebumps as you say that. I love it. Man, think about the angels as protectors. Okay, you get thrown in jail? Sure. I'll come get you again. Keep doing exactly what God has told you to do. I will protect you. Looks like that's all I got, huh? You guys did nice, and we are 25 seconds early, so that's time for me to pray before Kristen gets you out. Hey, well done. Well done, well done, well done. We're into Acts chapter 6. Guys, we're reading the Bible together. And your voice is teaching me. The knuckles looking white. Guys, the crowd was holding rocks ready to throw it. Can you imagine? I mean, I get it when Lou punches her sister. But I can't imagine holding a rock and letting my arm come up like I'm going to hit someone with it. Oh my gosh. You guys, you're doing great. God, as we go into our groups, I pray that we move with this same sense of excitement to watch your word come alive. It comes alive when we read it. And when we place ourselves there, and it is by your Holy Spirit that we move today. Amen.